This evening's scripture reading comes from 1 John chapter 2, verse 7. That's 1 John chapter 2, verse 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye have from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning.
The first chapter of 1 John deals with the fellowship between mankind and God. In verses 1 through 4, John provided evidence that mankind could have fellowship with God. Namely, it's possible for mankind to have fellowship with God because the Son of God came in the flesh. And of course, John could bear witness to that fact. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10, John provided the criteria necessary to have fellowship with the Father. If one wants to have fellowship with the Father, one must also walk in the light, verses 5 through 7, and confess their sins, verses 8 through 10. Still, it's impossible to have fellowship with God, with the Father, without maintaining a relationship with Jesus Christ. In chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, John reminds us that Christ is our advocate, the one that pleads on our behalf in the presence of the Father. He is also our propitiation, the satisfaction for our sins, verses 1 and 2. If one does not have a relationship with Him, then it's also true that one does not have a relationship with the Father. In chapter 2, verses 3 through 6, John reminded the brethren that they could be assured that they had a relationship with Jesus Christ if they followed or kept His commandments, verses 3 through 5, and walked as He walked. That is, walked as Jesus Christ walked. As Christians, we must keep the commandments of Jesus Christ. As Christians, we must follow His example. If we are to claim to have a relationship with Him, and therefore a relationship with God the Father, we must do those things. John continues with this idea of fellowship through chapter 2, verses 7 through 11. But he kind of changes focus a little bit. He now focuses on the fellowship between fellow brethren. You see, it's also impossible for us to have a relationship with God without having fellowship with faithful brethren. It's impossible for us to have a relationship with Jesus Christ if we don't have fellowship with the brethren. And so now John turns all of his attention to a very, very important commandment, namely, to love thy neighbor, or to love one another as self. He begins in verses 7 and the beginning of verse 8 by reminding the brethren that it's both an old and a new commandment. He says in verse 7, Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. In verse 8, he says, Again, a new commandment I write unto you. And so this commandment to love one another is both old and new. It's an old commandment for at least two reasons. It was old for Jewish Christians, for even the old law taught that one ought to love their neighbor as themselves. In Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18, the Lord said this, Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. And so it was old in that sense, a similar commandment given in the Old Testament. But it was also old for all Christians. All Christians had it from the beginning, as John points out here. Christ reestablished this commandment as a major aspect of Christianity. If you will, turn to 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. There John wrote this. He says, "For this message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous." And so this indeed was an old commandment. From the very beginning, Christ established this for all Christians, that we ought to love one another. Of course, this is in contrast to the Gnostics, who were teaching that knowledge was superior to love. And because they had superior knowledge, they could therefore disregard their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. John says, this is no new commandment. This is an old commandment, which he had from the beginning, but he also says, which he heard from the beginning. Perhaps some were claiming, oh, John is adding to the gospel. We know that John often talked about not only the love of God, but the love between brethren. And so perhaps some were saying, oh, John, he's so hung up on this concept of love. But he says, no, you've heard this concept of love from the beginning. He reminded them that Christ had established this commandment long, long ago. It was an important part of their Christian faith. If you will, turn to 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 20. 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 20. John says this, "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love a God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also." John says, how can you claim to love God? How can you claim to love the God of heaven, a God that you have not seen physically with your own eyes, and yet claim to hate your brother? It simply cannot be done, and it makes one a liar. One that claims to hate his brother but love God, he is made a liar before God. It makes you wonder about those that claim that they have a relationship with Jesus Christ. They say yes to Christ, but no to the church. Surely they don't fully understand what they're saying. The church is the body of Christ. And so it's impossible to say yes to Christ and no to the church. One that has no fellowship with faithful brothers and sisters in Christ has no fellowship with God or Jesus Christ either. So he reminds them, you've had this from the beginning. You've heard it from the beginning. It's an old commandment. But he also says in verse 8, it's also a new commandment. It's new because Christ set a new standard for what it meant to love one another. He set this new standard by his life and by his death. The old commandment to love one another became new in several aspects. It became new because Christ widened its boundaries. Isn't that true? At one point, it was just love your neighbor. Those fellow Israelites were to love their fellow Israelites. But Christ widened the boundaries. In John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, we're told that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. He gave something. He gave his Son. And his Son gave his life for us. A self-sacrificing love. A love that perhaps couldn't be comprehended any other way than to look to the example of Jesus Christ. He also widened the boundaries by allowing Gentiles entrance into the kingdom. In Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and 35. You remember when Peter was standing before Cornelius. And he says, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted of him." A new standard was set by Jesus Christ. He widened the boundaries, but he also widened the length to which, or extended the length to which, this type of love would go. It was no longer love those that love you. It was no longer love those that believe exactly what you believe or do exactly as you would do, but rather even love those that hate you. Turn to Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 and 44. Christ set a new standard of love, a self-sacrificing love, a love that puts forth or gives forth oneself even to those that treat you poorly. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 43, Christ said, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. He says, But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you." Is it true that even members of the body of Christ can treat you poorly? Indeed, it can be true. And indeed, it's happened in the past. But it's also true that their wrongdoing doesn't remove our responsibility. Our responsibility to love our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Those that are our enemies, yes. Those that curse us, yes. Those that despitefully use us, yes. That's the new standard that Christ set for this idea of agape love. In Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 10, we see that Christ not only required, not only set forth this command, but He lived it Himself. We're told that He gave Himself while we were yet sinners, while we were yet enemies. He died on the cross on our behalf. Do you remember when Jesus Christ hanged upon the cross, ready to give His life for all of mankind? And as those Roman soldiers, they cast lots for His clothing, what was His prayer? "Father, punish these people. Father, let me have revenge." No, He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus Christ made this commandment a new commandment. We read of the instructions given to Christians to have fellowship with Jesus Christ. We were to walk as He walked, follow His commandments. And this idea of love, agape love, is part of the commandment set forth. And so it's true, if we are going to walk as He walked, if we are going to follow His commandment, it's also true that we will follow the commandment to love one another. If we do not love one another, we cannot have fellowship with Christ. And so it's both an old and a new commandment. But He says in the latter part of verse 8 that it's also a true commandment. He says, "Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in Him and in you. Because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth." Christ and the brethren, Christ and His followers, revealed the truthfulness of this commandment. Of course, Christ exemplified and made real a self-sacrificing love that was previously unknown. And by walking as He walked, as we walk as He walked, we too make this commandment true. We have a great impact on the world. We talked about the impact that we could have on the world by praising God, by recognizing God for the great things that He has done in our lives. The heathen will turn to themselves and say, "The Lord hath done a great thing for them." But the same thing is true when it comes to love. When we love one another, when we express our love for one another, we make this commandment forever true, forever real. It's no longer some abstract concept. You know, I've sat through plenty college philosophy classes, and they come up, you know, all of these abstract, how in the world they would ever be applied, no one can ever explain. And so you sit there and you wonder, what's the point of this? What's the point? Well, Christ didn't do that. He taught this idea of a self-sacrificing love, and then He made it real. And when we walk as He walked, we make it just as true, just as real. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, Christ said this. He said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another." How do we prove to the world that we are disciples, that we are Christians? By displaying love for one another. But it was also made real by the results that it rendered. He says, "Because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth." With the coming of Jesus Christ, the light, it began to penetrate the darkness. as prophesied in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2, a prophecy of Jesus Christ or the coming of Christ, Isaiah says this. He says, "The people that walketh in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." And then we look at John chapter 8 and verse 12. You remember how Jesus Christ described himself there? He said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And so this commandment is true in the sense that it bears results. John says that the darkness was passing. That this concept of love, the love that the brethren were showing for one another, the love that Christ exemplified by his life and by his death was having an impact on the world. The same is true today. Where self-sacrificing love that was taught by the light prevailed, darkness was dispelled. And where hatred for the brethren prevailed, darkness existed. And so it's both an old and a new commandment, and a true commandment, but it's also a revealing commandment, verses 9 through 11. Consider what it reveals about an individual. First of all, let's consider what it reveals about those that reject the commandment to love one another. Notice what he says in verses 9 and 11. He says, "He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now." Verse 11 says, "But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whether he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes." First of all, when one hates his brother, he reveals he is currently in darkness. What does it mean to be in the light? I think John explains that very well in 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. He says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." He continues, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Therefore, to walk in the light as he is in the light is to follow his commandments." And so, when one rejects this commandment, when one claims to be in the light while hating his brother, he reveals that he is currently in darkness. John says, "even until now." That's a sobering concept. When we hold a grudge against our brother in Christ, when we hate our brother in Christ, we're not getting close to darkness. We're not gradually getting close to darkness. It's not some sort of a process. If you continue to hate your brother, soon you're going to be in darkness. But rather, it's true today. If you hate your brother, you're in darkness right now. There is no process. James says you are in darkness even until now. It's kind of the idea that Christ explained in Luke chapter 11 and verse 23, where he said, "You're either for me or you're against me. You're either walking in the light or you're not. You're either loving your brother or you're hating him." And so it's true that those that hate their brother demonstrate or reveal that they are in darkness even until now. But he continues in verse 11 and says that those that hate their brother reveal they are walking in darkness as well. He says, "But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness." And so he's not just simply abiding in darkness, but rather he's walking in it. He continually or habitually sins against God by hating his brother. When we neglect the commandment to love our brothers and sisters in Christ, we're still in darkness. We can make all the claims that we're not. We can say, no, look at the good things that I'm doing in my life. Look at how I've devoted myself in these areas. But it doesn't make it any less true that we are in darkness. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 3, we're told that God, our Father, made it possible for us to have an inheritance of the saints in light. And that we've been delivered from the power of darkness, the domain of darkness, and translated into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. But when we hate our brother, we haven't made that transition. We haven't been translated, but rather we remain in the darkness of our former lives. Hating our brother reveals that we are in darkness even until now, that we are walking in darkness, but also, as verse 11 explains, that we are stumbling in darkness. It's one thing to be in darkness. It's another thing to be walking in darkness, but there's perhaps nothing worse than to be so blinded that you're stumbling around in the darkness. There is no worse feeling than knowing that you could bump into something at any moment, that you could stumble, that you could fall, that you could hurt yourself. And here John says that those brethren that were hating their fellow brothers in Christ, they were stumbling in darkness. When the light is rejected, it's inevitable that one will stumble in darkness. That's what Christ says in John chapter 12, verses 35 and 36. So how do we avoid stumbling in darkness? How do we avoid hurting our spiritual selves? Well, we've got to put away our hatred for the brethren. We do that by following the commandment of loving our brother. And when we love our brother, we put away a lot of other terrible sins. Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. When we love our brother, we won't commit adultery. We will not kill our brother. We will not steal. We will not bear false witness or covet. But if we put on this concept of loving our brother, we put those things away. You see, hatred and bitterness and all of those things that go along with hating someone blinds our eyes. Hatred blinds a wise man's eyes, keeps him stumbling about in the darkness. Even though he's convinced himself that he is in the light, he is no more in the light than one that has never come to it at all. It reveals a lot about one that hates his brother. It reveals that he is in darkness even until now, that he is walking in darkness, but also that he is stumbling in darkness. But it also reveals something about an individual when they obey the commandment to love one another. Notice verse 10. He says, "He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him." One that loves his brothers and sisters in Christ abides, continually abides in the light. And we know that when we are in the light, we have fellowship with God and with Jesus Christ. It's an important thing. You see, self-sacrificial love is more than just words. It's actions. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18, John said this. He said, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." That's the standard set forth for us. Christ set that standard. He didn't just say, "I love mankind," but he died for mankind. He gave himself for mankind. And so when we love our brothers and sisters in Christ, we display that we're walking in the light. We're walking in the light because we're following the Word of God. Not just in word, but in deed also. Consider also 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. He says, "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments." And so we can't say that we love our brethren and disregard or disobey the commandments of God. He says in verse 3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." And so not only is one that is loving his fellow brothers in Christ abiding in the light, but verse 10 tells us that he or she is also secure in the light. There is none occasion for stumbling in him. The one that is hating his brother, here he is, he's walking about in darkness, he's blinded, he's stumbling around, he's fumbling around in the darkness, he doesn't know where he's going, he thinks he's in the light, but he's sadly mistaken. But here, one that loves the brethren, he is abiding in the light, and there's none occasion of stumbling in him. He's secure. He's not going to fall in the traps of sin, the traps that Satan has set for him. He's walking in the light. He's secure there. It enables him to progress, spiritually speaking. God is love. Christ's command is love. Therefore, love is the one thing that brings us nearer, not only to God, but to our fellow man. Are you in fellowship with faithful Christians? Are you holding grudges against faithful Christians? Do you hate your brother or sister in Christ. You simply cannot do that and have a relationship with Jesus Christ and with God. You must maintain a relationship with those that are of Christ. You've got to love them with a self-sacrificing love. If you have hatred for the brethren, you are not walking in the light. If you're outside of the body of Christ, by your actions in the past, by your unwillingness to submit to God, you prove or have proven up to this point that you are not a follower of God and therefore have no fellowship with Him or His people. But that can change. You don't have to remain in that state. God has set forth a sacrifice for your sins, that you can not only have a relationship with Him, but with Jesus Christ and His church. And today is the day to make that choice. Don't put it off. Don't put it off for some other time, some other day. Today is the day of salvation. If you're outside of the body of Christ, you can become a Christian by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10:17. Believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's what Christ said. Belief makes you turn to repentance. Turn away from the old self and turn to God, asking for forgiveness for the past sins that you've committed. But then also confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And with that, deciding to be baptized into Christ. Being buried like Christ and being raised like Christ. Raised to walk in a newness of life as a Christian. Having fellowship not only with fellow Christians, but with Jesus Christ and the Father. That is an opportunity you have at this hour. Make the choice to become a child of God. But maybe there are some that have fallen away. Perhaps fallen away because of their hatred for the brethren, or for a brother or sister in Christ. Make yourself right with God. If it's been a public sin, confess it before the congregation and we'll pray with you. Please come as we stand and sing.